Mouthing Off is a theater, arts, and culture podcast from Bad Mouth Theater Company in St. Paul, Minnesota. I'm Amanda Forstrom.
I'm Kevin Couchman.
And I'm Mari Sittner. Mouthing Off features compelling interviews and discussions with artists and creators from around the Twin Cities and beyond.
Tune in for something different online where you get your podcasts at badmouthtc.com and on the air in St. Paul through Frogtown Radio 94.1 FM.
And if you've got something going on around the Twin Cities you'd like to talk about, we want to hear from you. Email us at badmouthtc@gmail.com.
Mouthing Off is sponsored by Minnesota Playlist, the digital destination for live performing arts. Producers can find talent to work with, directors can cast productions with audition ads, teachers can find students with a classified, and audiences can find the perfect show to attend on the state's largest calendar of theater and dance shows. Find out more at minnesotaplaylist.com.
We hope you enjoy the show.
We are back with another episode of Mouthing Off, theater arts and culture podcast from Bad Mouth Theater Company, badmouthtc.com. I'm Kevin Kautzman, joined by Mari Sittner out east, per usual. We got a full house tonight. All right. How are things in New York, Mari?
Pretty good. You know, we're an hour ahead, so it's dark outside. I see on a little Zoom call that all you Minnesotans still have your sunlight. Very jealous.
And
spring
it's
has sprung.
Beautiful in Minnesota. And Amanda Forstrom is here as well in Minnesota. And Amanda, I'm going to hand the baton off to her because she is working. She's acting. She is an actor. She is working on a play right now that is running for a few more weeks here in May. And I'm just going to let Amanda introduce our fabulous guests who are now her colleagues at this theater company here in the Twin Cities.
Yes, thank you. Good to be back after a little hiatus. And yes, it is absolutely blossoming in Minnesota. It is absolutely gorgeous. I don't know what we did to deserve this wonderful weather. We're going to have like 10 to 12 days straight of just sunshine and 80s up to maybe 90s. So just wonderful. Anyway, I'm doing this amazing show at Sidekick Theater right now in Bloomington, and it is called Perfect Wedding. And it is a perfect farce. It is so funny. And I am joined by two of my wonderful castmates. And it's just, I have to gush about this cast for a second because, man, do we really need a comedy? And man, this cast knocks it out of the park. They will have you laughing until your sides and your face hurt, and we just need it. And it's just so, what a great way to start the summer. So I'm going to introduce the wonderful Mindy Cordich, who plays my mother.
Yeah.
And Luke Davidson, who plays Tom, the best man. Hello, welcome to Mouthing Off. Thanks for being on.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, happy to be here. Thank you.
Let's just get the plugs out of the way right away. So how long is the show running? Where can people get tickets? Where are you located? Tell us about Sidekick and just start with the website and all that.
Yes. So you can buy your tickets at sidekicktheater.com, Sidekick Theater with an RE.com. And the show runs through May 18th, Sunday, May 18th. So we do have this weekend, Saturday night at 7:30 and a matinee on Sunday at 1 p.m. And then we have a couple matinees on Wednesday and Thursday of next week at 1 p.m. and the same time, 7:30 Saturday and 1 p.m. Sunday, May 18th. So you have some time to get tickets. And I will say we have been selling out shows, and it's a 400 plus seat theater, and just laughter throughout the whole thing, not just certain lines or certain scenes or certain people. I mean, it is
right.
Glorious.
It is, yeah. It's a laugh riot. It is. You're constantly laughing. I attended. I am unbiased. I'm biased toward Amanda because Amanda is my friend. Amanda is like family, right? You form a theater company with people you become, whatever. So I'm biased toward that, but I am not. This is like, I'm not the guy this play is for. I will just tell you, this is not normally what I would go see. I tend to be into like really weird, dark, whatever. Go. This is good. It's really funny. And it's the cast is super talented. It moves fast. It's a great space. So it gets, two thumbs up for me. A lot of fun.
I'd
All right,
also like
Amanda.
to add how beautiful the theater is. It's a
Oh, it's
gorgeous theater, and there's free parking in a nice parking lot, which is such a plus. Yes, absolutely. It is in Bloomington, Minnesota. Probably, I want to say, how many miles south of like Fairview Southdale Hospital, right there on off Normandale Boulevard in a beautiful area. There's little paths to kind of walk around. So if you want to take a little stroll by, a lake or a pond or a slough, as some of us rural people call it, you could do that, get some sunshine, go into the theater, have a nice meal. There are also dinner. You can buy dinner tickets with your show tickets, which is amazing. And there's a wonderful company member called Kelsey who makes amazing meals, and I've also heard wonderful things about that. They have like chicken and rice and salmon, and I will say, from a part Italian critic, the cheesecake was very good. It was outstanding. So there you go.
All right. Well, let's get our guests in here now. And Amanda, I'll let you continue to sort of, I guess, MC a little bit, but I want to hear from the guests. So, Melinda, can we start with you? Tell us about who you are, what you do at Sidekick, and a perfect wedding. Why this? What are you? And by the way, you play the mother, hilarious in the second act when the Well, I don't want to give it away. It's very, very funny. I was dying. Doesn't she starts like, oh God, the singing. Oh, I was dying. It was so funny. What a great choice. It's so funny. Anyway, yeah. So.
Why Sidekick? I love when people go, "Why did you choose this?" You beg for a job, for God's sakes. You get cast and you're happy, But I absolutely, this is my. Well, no, the first show I did with Tim was 30 years ago. He was my stage manager at Old Log. So then we kind of reconnected. So this is my, I did a voiceover for one of his shows. I was the grandma screaming. Then the next one, I was the dead person's memorial picture. That was a surprise to me. Then Luke and I did Cinderella, which was the children's show for Christmas. And it was, I mean, we were literally backstage crying, all of us going, "We're so lucky. We're so lucky." It was just beautiful. And now this, and then I'm booked through December with them. I'm doing three more shows in a row. And I've been doing this since I was 9. I was in New York. I love what I do. I also am starting to, I'm an artist, so I do started building puppets. So now Tim will give me puppets to build, and I made a huge purse that drove around the stage for the last children's show and some cat puppets. And then for Wizard of Oz, which is the children's show coming up, I'll be doing Toto and maybe some flying monkeys. Look at, see, I'm doing this because of the wings. That's the wings. So I just find, and Amanda and Lucas, the people that he casts are not only talented, they're some of the kindest, warmest, nicest, down-to-earth people. So I think that really reads on stage. It's so supportive and so lovely. And
Yes.
it's been a joy.
Tim, and she was referencing Tim Stoltz being the artistic director, one of the artistic directors of Sidekick Theater and the director of Perfect Wedding. And I made this comment to Sarah, who plays Judy in the show, that it feels like when I've never worked at Sidekick Theater before, but when I started rehearsals, it was like it felt so familiar to me already. So comfortable, and like I knew these people and I had met them before, and it was just such a comfortable experience and so easy to do the wildest, dumbest, silliest ideas and throw it at the wall and see what happens because of that environment. So, and Tim is wonderful, and Brian, the other artistic director, is such a gem too. They're just both extremely talented and wonderful human beings.
And
So
they're there to serve the story, which I think is really important. It's all about the story and not about one person, but about the whole, which makes a huge difference too.
Can we get Luke in here? I'd love to hear from you, Luke, if you want to introduce yourself. What do you do at Sidekick? Why this play? Having fun, that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I love what Mindy said about why this play, like, because you want a job. That's very, very honest and very true. But also, my name is Luke. I have been acting for a long time. Started in elementary, middle school, and do it professionally now. I've worked with Sidekick Theater quite a bit the past like 2 or 3 years, mainly with their children's show. The first thing that I ever did with them was Robin Hood, which was a while ago. It was their own version. Whenever they do children's shows at Sidekick Theater, they do their own 1 hour long adaptations. So Brian will write the music, and Tim usually writes the script, although sometimes Brian writes the script. It's very much a collaborative effort. I really love those children's shows because of how much of a collaborative effort it is. I mean, we come in, usually the way rehearsals go for that, you go into the first day of rehearsal and you read through like a somewhat scrapped together script that they have. Maybe calling it a script is a little generous. It's very scrapped. And you go through it together and you just bounce off ideas like, oh, it'd be fun if this happened here, if this were there. And then they kind of, they take your ideas and they sort of like incorporate them as much as they can while still serving the story, of course. And it's a very collaborative effort, which I really appreciate. This show, Perfect Wedding, this is actually the first time that I've done I guess, I don't know, a main stage. It's the same theater that the same stage that you're on, but it's an adult play. It's not for children. But even though this one isn't written by us, obviously, it still has that same collaborative feel, just like what Amanda and Mindy were saying. They do a really good job of just making you feel comfortable there. I don't know if there's probably a better word to use. It's a laid back atmosphere, just down to earth. You feel very comfortable there. It's not like you walk into a room where the directors are sitting behind a table and there's this equity stage manager that's like strictly running things. I mean, that has its time and its place and can be very useful, but it's just nice to, it feels really refreshing to just come into a room and you're just like chatting with each other about your day and then easing into rehearsal. And Tim's great. I love working with Tim. He's a very kind guy. I mean, he'll sit down and talk with you about your character and character development basically whenever you want to. And Brian is also great and very talented musician and writes great songs and is also a very smart artist too and gives good feedback. And so,
Yes, he writes great songs the day before you go on.
yes, that is
Here, I
one of the
finished
things
it.
about the Yeah, the children's show, sometimes they don't get finished until like the week or a few days before we actually have an audience, which not everybody finds that enjoyable, but it can be thrilling.
This is the perfect venue to complain about that because you're talking to two playwrights, and Mari's a playwright and actor, so give them all of the heat about finishing their plays on time. It's
I
not so
will
much a play.
say. Oh, I'm sorry. Real quick, I will say you can't forget your lines if you have no lines. Okay, go on.
Right. I don't. You can always make up lines. You can always fix it, but it's the music that scares the crap out of me. So, I
That's
haven't had a
fair.
solo yet.
That's valid.
Brian, if you're listening, I think that was Mindy asking for a solo the day
No, it
before
was
you
Matt
open.
asking for a solo. No, Brian.
That's great. Ah, goodness.
Maria.
Okay, so everybody here is sort of embroiled in the show or has seen it, is involved in the show, but as the only person who hasn't, tell me a little bit about Perfect Wedding, and then I want to hear a little bit from each of you about your characters without spoilers.
That's tough without spoilers. I feel like it's hard to talk about with friends and family that I've tried to tell them about the show. It's hard to talk about the story without giving too much away because there's so many twists and turns that happen, even like, pretty early on. But basically, I mean, Mindy, if there's anything you feel like we can add, go for it. But I feel you basically, it's a story about a man who's about to get married. He wakes up the day that he is meant to get married, and he wakes up in bed next to a woman who is not his wife to be. And he's super hungover. It's been a crazy night. He can't remember a thing from the night before. And there's a lot of crazy chaos that ensues. Honestly, I'm not really sure how much more I can share that won't give things away, but that
It's
is.
pretty much a typical your typical farce, you know, doors slamming people in and out, all that stuff. But I think farce is such a delicate thing to do because it can die so fast. So you constantly are on like a razor blade, you know, and feeling the audience and what's gonna, and if everybody's on the same wavelength, it's great. But man, if it one slip and it can just farce is hard, I think.
Right. There's a lot in the play, if I may. There's a lot. It's very well written. It does have that sort of formula of the farce, but it's very well executed. The pace is great, and it's turning the entire time. There's some new revelation, some new revelation. Somebody mistakes something. Somebody's confused, and that's just irony. It's dramatic irony throughout the whole thing, and that drives the comedy for
Yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, Amanda.
Yeah, I was just going to read because this is a British play and takes place in London. I'm going to read from the website the official synopsis here. On the morning of his wedding, Bill wakes up in his honeymoon suite with a dreadful hangover and an unknown woman in his bed. It's a race against time as he has to either get her out or make up a plausible story before his fiancée and future mother-in-law arrive. Spoiler, she arrives.
I do.
Desperate times call for desperate measures in this hysterical romp of a love story gone wrong. The Daily Mail calls it, "This fast-moving comedy produces an endless series of excuses, lies, confusions, and false confessions right up to the unexpected happy end."
Nicely done.
Yes.
Very
Very well done.
good.
Perfect. I will say, if we just want to dive into Luke, into Tom a little bit, I will first preface it by saying that my husband said that Luke's character and acting and mannerisms were like a very young Conan O'Brien meets the expressions of Doc from Back to the Future. So,
That's
Luke,
very
tell us a little about Tom.
absolutely. I've been compared to several celebrities. Nevertheless, that's great though. That's kind. My character Tom is he's a very fun character to play. I really enjoy playing Tom. He is the best man to Bill, who is the groom that wakes up and doesn't know anything. And he's he it's a very fun transformation that you see Tom go through from the beginning of the play to the end of the play. He's a bit of a neurotic. He's very he's a very passionate man. He gets very upset over his girlfriend. I'm editing myself because it's so hard to not say any spoilers, but he gets very heated over his relationship with his new girlfriend, and when things don't go quite as he planned them to go. No, it's a really fun character. As the play goes on, you just see him like unravel more and more, and it's fun to play that just kind of a character that's growing more and more unhinged as the show goes on. It's very, very fun. And yes, very kind of your husband, Amanda. I'm glad that he enjoyed it.
I will say that I very much enjoy, because I've played in a farce, you have people who understand what's going on, truly going on, right? There are all these layers to it where people who understand what's going on, they're trying to hide it. They bring in somebody else who only knows part of the story so they can lie to another person, you know? And so I've been, normally, I play the characters that are inside the lie and get to be sort of outlandish and in covering that up and making excuses and mistaking people for this person for that person and door slamming. You're kind of in the middle because you know some of it, but not all of it. But Mindy and I are on the outside, and it's very, I don't know about you, Mindy, but it's very hard to play a like the straight character where you're the one who really doesn't know what's going on, and you just have to sort of act like, oh, these people are being a little weird today. Why? I wonder what that's about.
I think you have it harder than I do because I just pop in and pop out. And in the first couple of performances, I felt like I'm not even part of the show because literally I just pop in and then pop out. But for you, you have to follow those lines and try to make sense of them. For me, mine's like, whatever. I just want a perfect wedding. Let's just get married. I want you out of the house. Is there anybody else you'd like to marry? Anyone at all? Yeah, just
Someone,
go.
please marry her.
Yes. So, it's a different kind. I'm kind of separated from that. But for you,
Yes.
that's a lot.
And I guess I forgot to mention I'm playing Rachel, the bride. And yeah, everybody has to come out and see how my perfect wedding day goes and how it ends for me.
That's so great.
Yes.
This play is a great example of a character who never appears on stage, but who's larger than life and drives a lot of the plot. And it's the father. And
Gerald.
yeah, and
Gerald.
he's when you leave, he's a big part of the play, but he's never on stage. And it's kind of brilliant because I was thinking about it after, and I'm like, oh, if he showed up, it would destroy the play. It would not, it would stop being funny. Like
Right,
it's
right.
he's gotta be off stage. So I, and that's one of the things I love about theater is that everybody believes that you have grown adults who just we know he's not out there. He's not backstage. You know what I mean? I love that. That
But you
surrendering
believe
of
it. You've got it in
yeah.
your
Oh yeah.
head. You're in the world. Yeah. And then you start wondering, what's Gerald like? I wonder what he looks like. And then, oh, he's not real. Oh, yeah. Which
He's
is the
not coming
best
out.
part of theater.
Yeah, there's no Gerald in the cast breakdown, so I guess he's not. Oh, okay. He's not coming.
Oh, we should have put him. We should have just put Gerald.
We should have put Tim's picture.
Get him back for my memorial picture.
There you go. We should have Brian make program inserts for the closing show.
Gerald.
He probably
I'm
will.
gonna pepper this question kind of to the group, right? And anybody who's motivated, you know, what was the rehearsal process like? It sounds like there was a lot of rapport. It was a great group to work with. Was it easy or was it hard? Maybe I'll throw this to Luke.
It was, I don't know if I would say it was easy or hard. Farce is hard, like we've touched on already. It is hard to get it right. We actually, when we first started rehearsals, we initially were going to Americanize it. We were trying to do American accents originally. And after a couple of weeks, I think we had like a full 2 weeks of rehearsal, maybe a week and a half, we realized that it just wasn't clicking as the timing wasn't working, the pacing wasn't working as well. And Tim, one day, he just had a just totally out of the blue, a car. I think none of us were prepared for this. He just had us try it one day with English accents, just like have us read a scene. We didn't even get up on stage or do it. We just sat and we read it with the English accents. And pretty much all of us in the room agreed that as soon as we read it with the English accents, the pacing was so much better. It clicked. It was funnier. It just made more sense. So that really, I will say, like when we were doing it with the American accents, I felt kind of like I wasn't sure if it was going to be funny. Like, when I first read through the play on my own, I was like, oh, this is a funny play. It's got a lot of twists and turns. It's crazy. It should be a fun time. But when we were rehearsing it with the American accents, I don't know. It was a little skeptical, but it was also early in the rehearsal process. So I was trying to, have a grace period. But once we did the English accents, I was like, this is it. This is yeah this is it's funny how that just like brings it together, but it's the show is written to be performed that way. Even though the script does say there's a playwright note that says you could do it with American, I think they should take that out. I don't think it would work as well if you do it American.
No, there's like a heaviness or a bogged downness that isn't that light. Yeah, it didn't work, and it was a problem in the beginning. Big problem.
It was. But staging was really fun. Tim, we like we've said, Tim and Brian both Tim really was the main director for this show, but Brian was there a lot too and gave notes. But Tim, he really likes to work with you with staging and like what feels comfortable, what feels natural, where do you want to go in this moment? But of course, he also like will stand back and look at the whole thing, and it's like, all right, we're in a clump too much, or we're in a line here. We gotta, you know, he's good at kind of balancing that out and giving you the artistic freedom to make the choices that you think are right, but also giving you a little bit of direction if there's ever a moment where it's like, I think we need to kind of clean this up here, which is really nice. And it's very freeing from an actor standpoint to be able to like, I feel like I have the I feel like I'm empowered to kind of make my own creative choices or try things or play around, which is it's really exciting and it's
And
fun.
he's good at, like, if you're standing there thinking, which I do a lot, and he'll go, "What? What is it? What are you thinking?" And he'll like, "I know you're thinking. What is it?" And they let you try it. But he's very good about just kind of opening that door. He's also good about saying nope when it has to be said. Although Brian's better with that, I think. Brian sometimes, which is great because you need that balance, I think,
Absolutely.
for me.
I would agree.
Yeah. I will say, just adding to the conversation about the American accent, I feel like I was really having trouble finding who Rachel was because it was sort of so close to, a farce is supposed to be a little, exaggerated real life sort of, right? And it was hard to do that in an American modern sort of sensibility because it's like, oh, okay, well, I'm trying to find an exaggeration of somewhat of myself. And it felt very disjointed, not only like you were saying, Luke and Mindy, like through the pacing and the timing of the jokes and the language. But for me, yeah, it felt really hard to ground or find who Rachel was in sort of that half real, half absurd farce land. And as soon as we did the English accent, it's like I'm one of those actors where I put on a hat and oh, all of a sudden I'm somebody else, stupid. But that's just like sort of how I am. So for me, it was extremely helpful in finding who Rachel the bride was. And for farce, I always feel like the lines are secondary to the all of the movement and all of the comedy bits. So it's, yeah, rehearsal is so much more challenging because it's not just about the lines and who you're talking to and what you want in that scene. It's want, need, have to have, but it's also about, finding your brain is also finding the comedy here, like what's funny. And so not only are you doing the line work, but you're also trying to try all these iterations of comedy in your body. So, yeah, the lines are secondary, I feel like.
And then when we were, remember there was that time where I thought it was just dreadful. And we were like slogging through because we were at the point where we needed an audience to see if these things are working because we've done them so many times. I'm bored and I think they're stupid. But there was that, and I would go home and go, but we were overdue when we opened for some other energy, and then we got that, and it was like, okay, take off. That's it. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Some reinforcement of, because we would always say to each other backstage, like, is this funny? Is this just funny to me? Am I just doing this for me because I get a giggle out of it internally, or like we're having fun as actors, or is this like, just stupid and, useless in the grand scheme of the rhythm of the play? Yeah, Mari.
I know the show is written to be it is a farce, so it's written to be funny throughout, but I'm curious if were there any moments in the show that in rehearsal you guessed the audience would react a certain way, and then when you got in front of them, it was completely different.
I would say no. I mean, there was even, it was like, I think it was the second to last rehearsal. One of our other castmates, Tara, she made a comment about how she was like, she had no idea how an audience was going to react to this play, like the whole thing. And I would say that I was kind of in a similar boat. I was like, I think it's like what Amanda was saying. I think it's funny, but I don't know if how an audience is, I don't know why I was so unsure about this show specifically, but I really was just like, I hope they think it's funny. I don't know though. But once that first, the first show we did, the first time we had an audience, it was like, I mean, I can't even describe. It was like a God moment or something of just like,
Well,
oh,
it's the last piece to our puzzle.
yeah,
We were
exactly.
missing
Yeah.
that piece, and
It was a big piece of the puzzle. It was a big.
yes.
Exactly. And it was on your question, Mari, you know, there's obvious kind of laugh lines from the language and from the lines that are just built in because it's a well-written farce. But there are like a smattering of places throughout the play where, you know, we have these little exchanges and they could be nothing, but because Mindy and Luke and Tara and Sarah and Caleb are such fantastic actors and Tim and Brian are so brilliant that we have these, you know, now we have these like little physical moments built in so that it's just the laughter really doesn't end, you know? So like they were able to find their care the physical comedy outside of, you know, what was like
Right.
specifically written in the play.
And the timing, I mean, you can see how far you can leave that pace before, like, which girlfriend, which could be, you know, right off, but there's that, oh, that's the time, you know, but you have to play with that to get that.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's a lot of exposition too, because there's so many like lies and like trying to fill in like who knows what information. There's a lot of parts in the script where when you're reading it, it just feels like, wow, this is a lot of exposition. And not only is it a lot of exposition, but it's a lot of the same exposition that's repeated in a different, slightly different way to different characters. And I think I definitely had moments in rehearsal where I would get frustrated, like, why does he say the same freaking thing so many times, so many different ways? Sorry, I don't know if that's a, but anyway, what. Does he do that? But it is funny though. Like it does. I mean, it once you get the audience in there, like I haven't thought about that since rehearsal, really. Like it seems unnecessary repetition when you read it, but doing it with an audience, you realize actually it works just as it is, and it's needed.
Right.
Yeah.
In terms of pacing, right? It's fast. You're going, 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 going. There's a big turn. There is an intermission. I will say that it's paced very well. The intermission comes at a good time. You know, you're not going to be trapped in the theater for 2 hours without an intermission. Comedy, there's something very athletic about doing a comedy. You have to be like moving, present. Like Amanda, I remember watching when I was watching you. Because there's like a divider. This is a very classic farce, right? There's a lot of entrances and exits, and people don't know who's in what room when, and there's a divider. But we could see you the entire time while other stuff is going on. And you were very active the entire time. You never broke character. It was all very lively and fun. It's a bright, pacey play, you
And
know?
then it seems like when you're on the other side of that, hemming that wedding dress goes on for 23 years. I have a baby, I go to school, I graduate, and then my line comes. That's how it feels. So you just keep going, but I'm like, oh my God, it just drags on and on. But of course, watching it, you're watching, your attention's on the other room, really. So, but oh, some of those long, long.
Yes, and I will say with farce, you are never there. It you can never think about anything else except being in the present moment of like what's actually happening and responding. Otherwise, you have already missed your line and somebody's covered for you.
I forgot to sing one line one night, and Tara goes, "Did you forget to sing?" I'm like, "No." Oh yeah, I did. I was busy hemming. Sorry. Oh, that's your cue. Oh, sorry.
Yes.
Different performances, different audiences. Are they laughing at like different times? Or are they, is it pretty consistent? Yeah.
Well, you know how groups, there's some that are like guffawing, and
Right.
there's some that are silent, more silent, and you think, God, do they hate it? And then you hear in the lobby, oh my God, that was so funny. Each audience has its own feel. And I guess learning, we've all been around for a while, so you learn not to take that to heart, right? So they're not laughing as much. Like I sit in the whole first act and go, God, they're not. And, but now it's just like, well, that's just this audience.
Yeah. Overall, I feel like it has been fairly consistent with the laughs, but I mean, Saturday evenings have been, there have been some shows that have been a little quieter, like Mindy was saying, but you still feel, even when they're quieter, I feel like I still, on stage, I still feel their energy that they're with us, even if they aren't laughing as much as maybe other audiences, which is really interesting that you can feel that they're just like, they're attentive, they're watching, they want to know what happens, and they are enjoying themselves, like Mindy was saying, but
And I love when they go, oh,
yes, yeah,
you know
the
that there's one moment where
surprise.
everybody's,
Boom.
oh,
yes. We won't give anything away, but I think one interesting thing Tim expressed in the beginning was that because of our audience, that you know they might be a little scandalized by how the plot of the play is set up, but I must say they seem to be very much enjoying it and not scandalized. And I do think the British accents help here as well because it's like, oh, those dirty British people.
There's separation.
Also, we didn't invent sex.
Yeah.
They might be
Correct.
80, but there's a lot of
Yes.
stuff going around that old folks' home.
All right. So, needless to say, it is not a perfect wedding, right? The setup is just so funny. It's like it, and it starts from jump. And there's the one character I mean, I loved all the characters, including one that doesn't even exist on stage. But the maid who gets
Yes.
wrapped up in all this and all the misunderstandings, like every other line is like a misunderstanding that like digs the hole deeper. And that's that dramatic irony. One character knows something, the other character doesn't know something. Luke, doesn't your character really gets into like a castration? I mean, yeah, and it's so funny. Your character actually goes through a wild arc. He goes crazy.
Yeah, he does. He does. He really does lose his mind basically by the end. I guess that's a little bit of a spoiler, but how does he lose his mind? To come see it. But yeah, Tara is actually the one who plays the maid role, and she does a terrific job. And the first time you meet Tara, it's actually a scene with Tom and the chambermaid, and that is it's one of my favorite scenes to do in the show. It was one of the hardest scenes during rehearsals. Oddly enough, it just took us a while to kind of, because there's a lot of that point in the show. It's a very, I think I can talk about this without spoiling anything too much, but that's a very, Tom is roped into this lie that he didn't really want to be a part of, and he thinks one thing, and when he meets the maid, but the maid has no idea really what's going on. There's a lot of complexities going on there, which makes it fun to play. And I think the challenge, like, because it is a bit of a challenge to keep all of those layers in mind, that's part of what makes it fun as well.
Well, and Tara's big-eyed, innocent look.
Right. Yeah. She plays the maid very
Oh, I
well.
mean,
Yes.
there's something, just her look. I mean, she just, and then when she acting, and there's something so cute about her and kind of like innocent in a way that,
Yes.
oh, that's why the bets. Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I think because she's sort of roped into this unknowingly where Tom, your character is sort of covering for his friend's indiscretions, so to speak, or what the audience seems to be at that moment, indiscretions. But, Tara's character, Julie, is just roped into this as an outsider and is willing to take it on. And Tara, her physical comedy in this show is just such a delight. It is so fun. And yeah, just especially in the last few rehearsals we had before, and I think she had said, Luke, that she didn't know how audiences were going to kind of take this, but as like soon as I think she, her and like all of us got that little validation of like, oh yeah, it's not just us thinking it's funny and we're being silly for ourselves. They like it. They like us, Mikey. They like us. She just like took it and ran, and oh my gosh, there are times where I can't even look at her because she's she's just got those big eyes and she's doing something really funny. And I'm supposed to be in the scene saying my lines. How am I supposed to do that?
The curtsy, the curtsy when she curtsies. Yeah. I'm like,
yeah, yes, yes.
I'm so glad that nobody can see any of the things that you guys are describing right now so that they're not spoilers. Oh. Because the mystery is making me want to go see this show so badly.
It's fun. And I think right now, with everything that's going on, we need some lightness. We need some lightness. We need some goodness. And everybody is a dang decent person. So it just, I think they leave feeling better than when they came in. And I think then we've done our job because we need this. We always need it, but I think more so these days.
I'll co-sign that. And beyond needing to laugh and having that levity, there's nothing else like theater. You're live in the room with hundreds of other people. Mm-hmm. It's really a communal experience. And there's laughing in a theater with other people is cathartic.
Well, and again, that human connection that we're all dying for, I think we feel so isolated sometimes. Mm-hmm. Just sitting there having that same experience and you're all on this, there's something really sacred about it. There really is for me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, I just, that to me, that's what it's like kind of going to church, although I'm not really, but you know, it's that kind of feeling. You're communing, you're exchanging, you're having an experience together and without, this sounds sappy, but there's some kind of love level always being exchanged back and forth.
Right? Yeah, I totally agree because, you know, especially with the election of the new Pope, I feel like there is, you know, when you go into church and or synagogue or what have you, that, you know, it's usually this sort of veneration and it's like silent or solemn and, you know, you sing songs and things like that. But this is like riotous laughter with people and people rarely congregate. There's stand up comedy and whatnot, but to follow a story for 2 hours and just riotously laugh with other people is mm-hmm. also a sort of religious sort of, you know, special thing. So,
yeah, it's important.
The phones go away. Right. Yeah. And there's a ritual to it. You know, and of course, like religion and ritual and theater, they all used to blend together.
Yeah. Well, they still do. I mean,
absolutely.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we're obviously five theater people here. So maybe as we wind down, we've got another, 10 minutes or so. We are talking about Perfect Wedding at Sidekick Theater in Bloomington. It is running until May 18th. You can go to sidekicktheater.com and it's Theater RE for tickets. Let's just get in. I like to ask this for people who are passionate about theater. We gravitate toward theater. We do it. So Melinda, what is your, just briefly, what is your theater background? How did you start? When did you start doing it? And that question also goes to you, Luke, but first,
my mom brought me to children's theater back in the day. And when I was nine, they had question and answer and I raised my hand and said, how do you get to be in these? And I decided I was going to be in it. So when we moved away from Minneapolis to Prairie Lake, and when I was 15, I auditioned and I got into a show. And at that time they ran for like 6 months. So you were out of school a lot of times. And God bless my parents, who were not the greatest supporters in the world, drove me down from Prior Lake every night to rehearsal and would go have a dinner with their coupons. Cool. And then I got my license in there too. And from then on, that was it. Between reading books and doing theater and doing art, that's all I need. I love it.
There is no high like putting on a show. If you're a theater person, it's like, it is just incredible.
It's your soul. Mm. And I, if you stay in it as long as I have, which is like forever, you need that. This is what part of you. It's a huge part of you. And you don't often meet a lot of people that are that crazy. Like I could do theater history and all that, but it to me, it if I didn't have it, I think I'd die. I'd be very,
Okay,
very sad.
amazing. I mean, when I have to answer the question, like, why theater? I don't have to answer it that often anymore, but like for submissions and things in the past, I really am committedly, I don't know, I really deeply believe that it's inseparable from our humanity.
Yes.
Like live performance and theater is the arch version of that. It is like it's the oldest art form. It's like ancient, primal, real, and we're living in this world that's like hyper-mediated by screens. And this is just a chance to break out of that. And it's such a gift. It's a gift that goes both ways. The audience, these are all adults. Everybody's got a mortgage, or whatever else. They got rent, they got bills. They agree to say, hey, I'm gonna give you $25 or whatever, $30. And you're gonna put on a show for me, and I'm gonna suspend my disbelief for you. I'm an adult and I will be like a child again for
The
you.
whole tell me a story, read me a story, read me a story. It starts what? When before they could talk. And it's still in us.
Yeah, it's amazing. We are the storytelling creature. Yeah, Luke, how did you get into theater?
Well, I come from a somewhat musical family. My dad and grandpa were singers. My dad still is. So I kind of got my start in performing through that singing, but then I started doing plays at school, and I know this might be hard to believe, but I was somewhat of an odd kid in school growing up. I had I mean, I think many theater kids maybe can relate to this, that I had some bullies in school. Nothing like hor nothing horrible, thankfully, but just kids who like to pick on me. And the first time that I ever had a lead in a play at school, it was middle school. It was just this little one-act play. It was a comedy, though, and we always did a performance for the students. That was like every school play or musical we did. There was always one show that was just for the students, and I remember being petrified for that because of my bullies, and I was like the most nervous I'd ever been. I even asked my teacher if they could like sit next to some of those kids that I was particularly nervous about. But then afterwards, it went so much better than I mean, they were laughing throughout the whole thing. And afterwards, like the next day or a couple of days later or whatever, I was like in the restroom. And one of those kids who would, typically, pick on me, he came up to the stall next to mine or whatever, and he looked over and he was like, "You were in that play, right?" And I was, "Yeah." He was, "You did a really good job." And that was just a moment where, like, I just saw, like, I mean, in that moment, things, it just kind of like showed to me like how powerful theater can be, and also like I felt like I kind of found my way to connect with my peers as well, if I, and it the ability to like make people laugh is just a gift that I it's laughter really is like being in a room full of people who are just laughing together, like we've been talking about. It's like one of the most beautiful things, maybe even the most beautiful thing in the world. It really is just it makes my heart happy. That's kind of how I got started. And I just never kind of went back, at nothing else really clicked as strongly as theater and performing. So, and I tried other things because I know it's not an easy business, but it's just there's nothing like it. And it's like Mindy, I mean, it's I don't I maybe wouldn't die, but I probably would have boredom. I would if I didn't have theater, if I didn't have acting, maybe I would die slowly. But I don't yeah it's just part of who you are, as corny as it might sound. It's we need it. We all need it, even if we aren't actors. People need storytelling.
I really believe that if people don't have a culture of theater or of like live performance, they find ways to enact drama in their lives. Anyway, it's actually like I actually believe it's healthy to periodically go and do this and put it on stage and again get catharsis. And every laugh, every belly laugh is a little tiny catharsis. Every play doesn't have to be Hamlet or whatever, right? It doesn't have to this heavy. Yeah. So, and I love that. And Yeah, what a gift that you are able to give to an audience. And it's so great that you have this incredible space and this theater that is just really comfortable. Amazing. So what is next at Sidekick? What else is going on? Do we know? I mean, I
Wizard
can
of
look.
Oz
It
for the
is.
kids.
Okay.
Oh, awesome. That's amazing.
And
That's so good.
then there's a show called Fireflies that I'm going to be in, which is about an older retired teacher and this very kind of structured life. She retired in Texas, and this drifter comes by and kind of like has it's kind of a love story based on a book called Eleanor and Abel, and it's super sweet and funny and lovely. And it's Gabe, who is in Over the River with me, that played my husband. So we're back again, and Kirby Bennett, and yeah. So I'm really excited. And then the Christmas show is The Elves and the Shoemaker, which I think I'm making elf puppets for that. I don't know, because he'll tell me.
Another kitchen.
How, it's great. You're very diverse mix of things. How do y'all pick your shows? I mean, is there like a process or
Tim
how does that
does.
happen? Yeah, okay. So you have like artistic direction.
At
Okay.
Sidekick here specifically, yeah, Tim picked them. I mean, the kids shows, they kind of cycle out. I mean, they kind of do the same ones every 6 years or so, although I don't know if they've ever done Wizard of Oz. And
No.
just to be clear, it's not like this is their own version that they'll write an adaptation for. So it's not like the classic we're off to see the wizard. It'll be their own adaptation of that story, an hour long version of that.
And Tim's dad ran the old log theater for 40 something years, Don Stoltz, which was the longest running regional theater, I think, in the country at the time. That, and Tim was stage manager out there since he was like 18. So he's seen it all.
He really knows theater and knows plays.
When yeah, this is interesting. When you're working on a farce like this, and you have the everybody's got their lines memorized, and you're no, I know, right? No, it's so easy. And you throw the accents in, are you all you're starting to feel the laughs coming in rehearsal? Do you get like an audience in front of you? Do you get like some visitors or some, or is it like cold, opening night? Like, does this work or not? Is that how you do it? Or did you actually get some people to come in and kind of give you feedback?
Nope, nobody came in.
Yeah, nobody. It was just a
There are some wonderful understudies to this show, and they came and were watching, and occasionally they would kind of laugh or something if something had came up that they hadn't seen yet. And sometimes theaters will do what's called an invited dress rehearsal for specifically for this, but we did not have that.
I would
And
rather not. I would rather not. I'd rather just get the audience and do it.
Yeah.
I don't like that edging into it. You know what I mean? I
Well,
just never liked that.
when you know if it's funny or not, right? Well,
Usually empty.
this went so fast.
Oh.
We're already at the end of this episode. Amanda, thank you for organizing this.
Wow.
Belinda,
Absolutely.
Luke, yes,
Thank
thank you for
you.
coming on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
If
absolutely.
you, when you have your next show, you shoot us an email, and this goes to anybody who has a theater arts or culture event in and around the Twin Cities. We want to hear from you. It's badmouthtc@gmail.com. It's a quick hour. It breezes by. Goes out on the 94.1 Frogtown Radio, and then
Hey.
wherever you get your podcasts. And just a real joy. I love this. We make time to just talk about theater. Again, yes, perfect wedding running until May 18th here at Sidekick Theater and at sidekicktheaterre.com. Amanda, why are, and we got it, like 1 minute, and this is, I'll send this to the group. Why are misunderstandings so funny when one character misunderstands something that another character, like, why is that so funny? Anyone?
Because the audience is in the know. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, she doesn't know that. Oh my God, that's the
It's a secret. Yes, it's the secrets, I think. Yeah. The audience has a secret with this character.
Dramatic irony is very powerful. And once you notice it, it's like you can see it everywhere. It really works. One character knows something, another character doesn't know. The audience knows something. It creates this like, it's an engine. It's like a story engine. It's an engine for laughs. But in any event, get out there, go to sidekicktheater.com, go see Perfect Wedding. Thank you so much,
Thank you.
Belinda and Luke.
Thank you. Thank you.
All
Thank
right. you both.
Yeah. Thank you.